From the land of Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of December 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. At USIT, agricultural economist from University of Minnesota Extension will discuss his thoughts on marketing new and old crop corn and soybeans, and we'll preview with him futures and options online class. He's starting for the very first time in January, and how and why you might want to join that class. We'll also talk about the weather forecast and take a look at what's been in the ag news, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online and listen to us on demand. Where? At our refreshed website. You can check out all the changes at WILLAG.org. Should be easier to use if you're on a handheld device.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $5.83.5. It was a half lower. The May contract at $5.86, down a quarter. In December, new crop at $5.52.5, up a quarter. January soybeans 5.75 lower at $12.61.5. The March at $12.66.5, down 4.75. And November soybeans 3/4 lower at $12.33.25. Bean meal futures at $3.52.60, down $6. The bean oil at $57.86, 64 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat for the day. March contract at $8.06.25, up 2.5. The hard red at $8.22.5. Down a penny and 3/4. Oats up 13.5 in the lead at $7.30. Live cattle futures in Chicago. Nearby contract at $139.65, up 70. Feeders at $165.25, $1.12.5 higher. And lean hogs were down $3.27.5 at $78.22.5. Crude oil at $68.99 a barrel, up $2.75. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.16.1, 6.3 cents higher per gallon. And the wholesale price of gasoline today, up 8.3 cents at $2.03.5. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at about 35,297, around 730 points higher for the day. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Happy Monday to you.
Here we go again. It's a bullish Monday. We'll see how the market reacts here through the week. But for the most part, we're going to go back to bullish Monday.
But you're saying bullish Monday. I take it you're looking at the Dow and not the corn market for the day. Although it was only a half cent lower. Maybe you think that's good. So maybe that is bullish.
The market was down, but it felt like it was up for the most part. The Dow's on fire in through here. I don't know if we're seeing another round of investor confidence, consumer confidence, ideas. Maybe this COVID is going to be around, but not as severe. It's serious. But talk that Biden's flexing his muscle a little bit, talking about diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics. That's probably what spooked the Chinese into buying some beans this morning. We saw a 130,000-ton bean sale to China, which kind of, signals that we've got some support underneath the marketplace. I'm not quite for sure if we're not following the same trend as we did a year ago, Todd. What happened was the market moved higher into Thanksgiving. It broke hard for about 2 days, then turned around and moved higher into middle of January. That first of December into January, beans rallied over $1.56, and the corn market rallied over $1 or over 60 cents a bushel during that time window. So I think the trade still has that in the back of their minds. If we would start to move above last week's highs in the corn and today's highs, overnight highs, that is, in the beans, because they were higher overnight, then I think the green light comes on. And that's when you're going to start to hear buy signals instead of sell signals, Todd.
Well, farmers have been, I think, part of this move because the bin doors have closed, wherever it happens to be in storage. They're not making sales. I take it they're feeling pretty comfortable with their cash situations going into the end of the year. However, as we'll hear from Ed Usset from Minnesota, University of Minnesota, in just a bit. He's concerned, and I'm wondering whether you are as well, about January and February and the idea that this market will finally have grain to spare and it might actually move lower.
It could be a little bit of a lid effect on it as we move into January. As you visit with elevators around the central part of Illinois and through here into Indiana, we've got a record amount of checks going to be written for 1st of January. If you were a stock investor, I'd invest in deluxe checks, even though they're electronic, because there's going to be a lot of flow there. Then a lot's going to move after the first of the year, but you're dead on. We're in that seasonality, and through here, once harvest is wrapped up, it's hard to shake stuff loose, and there's quite a bit on the books for after the first of the year, for the most part. But I would say cash sales-wise, or maybe even futures-wise, I'd target, a week before Christmas, maybe that December 20th, 22nd, somewhere in there as maybe a little bit of a top, because we'll run into maybe some year-end profit-taking. The funds continue to be fairly large longs in the corn complex, over 320,000 contracts. Then, too, everybody probably be where they want to be on the buy side there. But between now and then, I think, we can still see some spikes up.
So I'm wondering what you're telling producers about what they've got in the bin. Do they need to just wait it out? I know each situation is a little different. Or maybe should they concentrate on next year's crop?
I'd say all of the above there. I think you got to get to where you want to be for first quarter cash flow needs between now and that late December time window, and kind of generate some cash to pay these high input costs as we move in to this 22 marketing year. As far as 22 goes, we're in the position here. I would put a price floor underneath the marketplace, defend this $5 level on December corn, and defend this $12 benchmark on the November beans new crop, and kind of have a floor in place and leave your upside open, because it's kind of hard to commit a whole lot here, not knowing the acreage mix or what type of weather. Acreage, boy, that's a wild card. Visiting with seed dealers, soybean salesmen, they've been having a situation where the phone's ringing off the hooks about more beans, but however, they're not booking them. It's a lot of talk right now. And so, there's still questions, whether we'll get those bean acres. Also, too, visiting with a lot of producers, Peoria Farm Show here last week, saw a lot of anhydrous go on. In fact, a record amount of anhydrous. Now, part of that was due to guys switching from urea or 28 to anhydrous. So, these corn acres might not drop off. In fact, they won't drop off where they've applied the anhydrous here this fall, Todd.
WASDE is due out on Thursday of this week, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Usually kind of a non-event in December, although I'm wondering if USDA might take time to update some of the numbers for South America?
Yeah, that'll be the focus, the Southern Hemisphere, but it's still a little early there, even though some of the Brazilian beans went in a little earlier and they're off to a fairly good start. There's still a lot of growing season left there, and plus Argentina is still putting some beans in the ground, but we'll try to get a handle on particularly Brazil if it's above 144 million metric tons or not. As far as U.S. numbers, corn ending stocks expected to be down about 18, 20 million bushels. Bean ending stocks might be bumped up maybe 15 million bushels. But the wild card in this whole thing will be the yield updates as we move into 2022, to the fact that, there's a lot of crop surveys, but those crop surveys were taken when the corn was upright, not laying on the ground, Todd.
Yeah, USDA releases a crop production, its next update for crop production for corn, not this month, but in January. This is one of the months that it does not have an update. January, of course, will be the big month because the final crop production report is due out, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and the grain stocks number as of December the 1st. Anything to think about there?
That's a key on that grain stocks. That's a great observation there, Todd, because that's going to actually measure where we are for this first quarter usage. And as dry as the bone we were on actual inventories around, a lot of this has been absorbed, moved into the pipeline, and actually on farm being tied up in through here. But that grain stocks report is going to be a fairly large or important number to look at.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the Biden administration plans to issue its proposals on how much biofuel refiners have to blend into the nation's fuel supply for this year and next. A source familiar with the discussion says officials are reaching out to lawmakers to talk about the move that could come within days. The administration delayed the 2021 blending obligations by over a year and missed a deadline to finalize the 2022 obligations last week. A source told Reuters that EPA has told at least two Democratic lawmakers to expect retroactively lower volumes for 2021 and 2022. The oil and biofuel industries have both called for the EPA to announce the proposals, saying the delays are creating uncertainty in the fuel market. Officials at EPA, which oversees the mandates, declined to give specifics on the timing of the announcement. Well, let's stay with Washington, D.C., where the National Chicken Council commented on the labeling of cell-cultured meat and poultry products. The NCC says those products need to be marketed in a way that clearly conveys their basic nature to consumers. That will avoid confusing consumers regarding the difference between cell-cultured protein products and traditional animal protein products, they say. The NCC says it's not appropriate to refer to cell-cultured products using terms like clean meat. In their comments, NCC issued six recommendations, including a term such as cell-cultured should be included in the product name on the label. They also want the Food Safety and Inspection Service to establish a codified standard of identity for the products. And finally today, Strategic Farm Marketing, a regular here on our ag programming, will hold a conference Thursday of this week at the I Hotel in Urbana-Champaign, which will highlight both the carbon markets and farm policy going forward. Colin Peterson, former representative from the state of Minnesota and a primary architect of several of the last farm bills, will speak during the morning session, as will Bruce Sherrick from the University of Illinois. Sherrick is the director of the Center for Farmland Research, and he'll be talking about carbon markets going forward and how agriculture may serve this market.
Agriculture has become part of the solution rather than only part of the problem. And I think the development of this area and the number of companies looking to own a channel in the carbon payment stream is something we really do have to pay attention to. We really just can't ignore that going forward.
Bruce Sherrick will speak about the carbon credit impact on agriculture this Thursday morning at the I Hotel as part of the 2021 Strategic Farm Marketing Customer Seminar. That agenda also includes former U.S. Congressman and Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson. You may learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Have you visited our website recently? I hope so, but if not, we refreshed it last Friday. It might be the perfect time for you to check out willag.org, willag.org. Should be quick and simple and easy to use, especially if you're on a handheld device. It's designed for those. Check out willag.org. There you'll find our daily programming, including the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, to listen to on demand anytime you'd like. Links to them at the bottom of the page as podcast, my contact information, updated information from the Farm Doc and Crop Sciences team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, and of course, agricultural news. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. I I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Ed Ussett from University of Minnesota and Minnesota Extension. Thank you so much for being with us. He's an agricultural economist and a professor there on campus. I'm told that you have a brand new futures and options class you're going to teach next semester, and folks could sign up for it because it's not on campus. Is that correct?
That's right. It's I've been asked to develop a fully remote version of a course, a 4,000-level course, undergraduate course, called Futures and Options Markets. It's a course I have taught many times over the last 25 years, off and on, but this is brand new in that it is designed to be remote. And I think what I'll do, Todd, is I'll send you a link and information about that. And if people want to learn more about how to register, they can contact you. You'll have the information, or contact me. I'd love to let people know how to get in.
If you send me the link, we'll post it right there on our website at willag.org, and they can look at it directly, willag.org.
Wonderful. And all your listeners who think I'm painfully dull these every few weeks we get together, they can enjoy my painful dullness every week.
Hey, so what is the primary focus of the class? What do you do? What do you try to teach people who are in it?
Oh, boy. I teach all aspects of futures and options markets. You know, we talk about using the tools as risk management tools. We explore the speculative side. We explore spreading quite a bit. And I am going to, in this course, use two simulation games. One is our own commodity challenge, where people in the class, I'll ask them to make risk management decisions using futures, using options all through the semester. But I'm also going to use the CME trading simulation, which is a speculative platform. And I'll ask students to take speculative positions. No one's going to get hurt, Todd. It's not real money. But what's interesting about speculation, I think, is there are a lot of ways to take for example, a long position. You can buy corn. You can bull spread, buy nearby, sell deferred. You can buy corn, sell soybeans. There's just a lot of buy calls, sell puts. And I want people to explore all the different ways to get into a mess in the market. I think it'll be fun. Yeah.
It sounds fun. Folks who want to sign up for this, and it'll start in January, I assume.
Mid-January.
Yeah, we'll be able to. I'll put a link on the willag.org website, willag.org, and you can look for that futures and options class that Ed Ussett's going to teach. Now, let's get down to the business of actually not speculating, but using these to manage some risk or what you think might be useful at this point for farmers as they try to manage risk for the crop that's in storage now, and the one for corn and soybeans that will be put in the ground this spring. Any indication of what you think ought to be done?
Well, I've got a couple things on my mind. First, just on new crop, I'm looking at the DEES 22 contract, you know, near that 550 a bushel range, certainly at a level where a person can get started, get something done there. I don't know if we'll be higher or lower a year from now, but I think that's a profitable level for all your listeners. I feel the same way about November 22 soybeans, 1230, somewhere in that area. Good, not a bad place to start. Here's what I'm thinking about, though, or what has me. It's, you know, we're now the first week of December. And there's a consistent theme out there about this market, and I'm talking old crop now. I get the sense that producers are very comfortable with their cash position. They had empty bins going in the harvest, and we filled them up really well. There's no incentive to do any selling right now. I think everyone's like, I'll wait till next year. I don't want to be too early. I was too early last year, et cetera. This is showing in the basis. And by the way, Todd, I'm hearing some incredible stories of a soybean crusher. I heard a story, talked to people involved there, that they paid something like 25 cents over their posted price, their bid, which was a good basis. They paid an extra 25 cents. That's what it took to get a week's worth of grind going to that soybean crushing plant, because people are holding their grain so tight. And what I'm thinking about, Todd, is when we get to January 1, the clock starts, or the meter starts, on a new year and a new income year for people who are on a cash basis. And I wonder if that grain will start to move at that time. I'm just wondering about that.
It'll be interesting to watch. We'll talk with you in another month about that, to see.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, people can check out your futures and options course. They can even sign up for it. We'll have details at the willag.org website. And if people want to see you in person, I know this winter that they can go to New Orleans on March the 10th and catch you and Matt Bennett both. Matt's on our air regularly for the early bird at the Commodity Classic. So all of those things happen.
Yes. Yeah. I'm always impressed, Todd, when 700 people show up at 7 in the morning to hear Matt. I think they show up for Matt, and I'm a throw-in. You know, I'm with it, too. So I'm amazed, though.
It is quite something. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, and we'll talk with you again next month.
Okay, Todd. Take care.
At USIT is an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. Here's a quick look at the weather forecast. Mark Russo's out of the office today. In the western Corn Belt, starting in Lincoln, Nebraska, sunshine for a good portion of the week. They'll have highs ranging from 32 today to 60 on Friday. Their lows mostly in the mid-20s. There is a 19-degree low on Wednesday evening there. Minnesota a bit colder, the low tonight at 6 degrees. Tomorrow evening at 8 and Wednesday at 11. They might get Thursday and Friday a bit of snowfall in Minneapolis. And right here in our part of the world, mostly sunny skies. It'll turn windy by the time we get to the end of the week. Friday, we could be in the mid to upper 60s. A lot of wind on that day, 37 degrees. Starting out, though, this week, dropping down to about 22 tonight. And in Indianapolis, 34 tomorrow, 38 on Wednesday, maybe some snow flurries. And then they'll come back up Friday and Saturday to nearly 70 degrees. Likely some rainfall in Indiana on those 2 days. That's a quick look at what the weather forecast looks like around the Corn Belt here in the United States. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.